It can't dignify it with a...
They say that the animal is kind of barbiturous or something.
I would believe...
He was really angry and yelling a lot.
Yeah, he's yelling at the American people. That's a good approach.
And when he had apologized because he said illegal alien, or that guy that killed that girl?
Yeah. Yeah, they're illegals.
Exactly.
Oh, well. We got it. Well, what we're looking at here is judgment. And I've come across some stuff that's really traumatizing to think about it. Yeah, well, this is inflation.
Well, we don't have any inflation.
Well, I tell you... If you went out and bought 6 months worth of food, you're going to buy it at this price or wait 6 months and pay twice as much. So it's just something to think about. All right, let's bow for silent prayer, giving us the opportunity to confess our sins. So let us pray. Father, we just thank you once again for the Word of God and its many benefits to our souls. And we pray that you'd help us to concentrate upon it and not on the craziness going on around us, and that we might be stabilized, blessed, and healed in our souls. For we thank you and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Matthew 24 is dealing with Christ was prophesying about what the days are going to be like in the end times, right immediately preceding his return to earth. Matthew 24:36. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son. So, and you just can't affix a return of Christ, at least to the day and hour. But our verse is, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered into the ark. Sometimes I've looked back at this and I thought, well, we really don't know a lot in the New Testament about Noah, but the grammar reveals a lot. And the grammar is four verbs, eating and drinking, and marrying and giving in marriage. Now, that just describes normal times. And that would be in itself a revealing factor. But what reveals it to us, well, of course, the definition of the word eating and drinking gets into gluttony and drunkenness, to the taking the normal things in life, and the olden nature acts upon it in lust. And you overeat or you overdrink. So that's what it's talking about. But the grammar of the four verbs is interesting because every one of those is in a present active participle. Now, what does that mean? You got gluttony, you got drunkenness, you got the normal stuff going on in life, but it's a way of life. Present participle, the grammar of that reveals a condition, an activity that becomes their practice of life. They're not given over to the things of the Lord. They're there just to get drunk and consume things on their lusts, as we see as so often the case is here in America. Another verb, if we back up in the passage, is, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people, and our verb is were eating and drinking. So that is an imperfect active indicative. And the imperfect tense describes an activity that was going on in the past but came to a stop. So what came to a stop? Eating and drinking, etc., right? They were doing those things, but it came to a stop. They didn't stop it. They were doing the present participle stuff of eating and drinking. So what stopped that?
Death.
Judgment of God on a wicked generation. And their death, they didn't stop it themselves. See, that's what repentance is completely talking about. Is like in the days of Jonah and Nineveh. They were involved in all sorts of stuff too. But he came with a message, and his message was to repent. And they did. So judgment went away. So are we making any connections to our present situation in America? Yes. There are a lot of pastors out there, we don't know them, that are telling their people to get right with the Lord. They're witnessing, they're talking about Christ, talking about their need for salvation. And there are a few people getting saved. But has America repented? No. They've had the gospel witness for 400 years on these shores. And each younger generation gets worse and worse and worse. Now we're at this place. You know, I watch TV and I search looking for shows. They're all so violent. They're angry. They're demented. They're demonic. Everything bad. And I think all of them, just about all of them. And that's because the ones writing the material were raised on violence. They don't know. Like I watched an older movie, 70 years old. When I was 12, I saw it in the movie theater called High Noon. I don't know if you've ever seen it with, what's his name? Cary Grant? No.
Gary Cooper.
Gary Cooper. I thought it was a Gary. And it's a real classic. It has all of the elements in there. Even has a church service singing some hymns. As I said, movies used to be centered around Christianity and the church, and good versus evil, and good always wins. Not today. And the violence, a guy would get shot, he'd go down, but that's the most violent you saw. Today they have their heads being cut off, and they're seeking every lower level that they can possibly go to. And this is brainwashing. It's called mental conditioning to accept more and more violence in your life so your conscience isn't bothered. And after 50 years of public indoctrination, kicking the Bible out of schools, prayer out of schools, we have this generation today that hate God. They hate God, they hate American values, they hate it all. And now they want to destroy it all. And there's a 10 million man army on our shores today. And is it true that I've heard that illegal immigrants or the gun dealers of America have been informed that illegal immigrants don't have to have a background check?
What?
Yeah.
That's...
And not only that, I also read where California is giving no down payment loans for illegal immigrants to buy a house and no interest.
Plus, San Francisco just hired a Chinese gal that doesn't have any citizenship on the board of supervisors.
I know, yeah, so, well, that's part, this stuff would drive you mad, especially if you love this country. But we have to conclude that America is being judged. There is a passage where the young men went about weeping in the Old Testament. They were soldiers, and they're not wussy type of guys. They're used to battle, and they're weeping. The reason why is that you smell that? My smell is starting to come back to me, so everything seems weird. And they were weeping because the nation was doomed. And they had the chance to stop it. And it was the leaders of Israel kept saying, peace, peace, when meanwhile the army is building up inside and outside the country. That's where we're at today. So we've got to conclude America being under judgment. Is there time for it to change? Yeah, I don't know how much time. I mean, it's possible that they change, but I don't see it. So I know it might not mean something to everybody, but think about your children, your grandchildren, your husbands, your wives. What kind of a country do you want them to live in? Do you want to live like that? So these are some of the things that we have to take in our thinking in this one here on the people back in the day that they were eating and drinking before the flood, and they didn't stop themselves. They could have. And by the way, how many righteous people did God find? Actually, one. Noah, and the scriptures are clear, Noah was found righteous in the eyes of God. He said, well, what about his wife and the other three? That was probably level three. If a nation is righteous, God will avert his judgment. But if a nation isn't righteous, but there is areas of a nation that is righteous, let's say like pockets in the Midwest, could be big, could be small, but that area would be delivered because of its righteousness. But if you don't have that, then if you have the nation is wicked, areas are wicked, but if there's a righteous family, so it goes down to a family unit, you know, that area be spared because of that family unit. And if that's not the case, who's spared? Just the righteous one. So if there's a righteous man or woman in the family, God would spare the family. But it can get so bad that God won't even spare the family. Just the righteous individual. So what we have here is a level three with Jonah or Noah. And his family is delivered, because it doesn't say they're delivered. And you have to remember what happened after the flood. Noah got drunk, and Canaan did a perversion. So you have the wicked line of Ham and his son Canaan doing some type of perverse act on Noah after he's passed out. This is kind of sick stuff, but that's the history of mankind. So the whole thing was delivered. We do see Shem in a favorable light, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So it could be Shem got straight, who knows? Or maybe we didn't have a problem with him, but it wasn't mentioned. Okay. Huh? Well, the godly line came through Shem, of course, the Semitic line. But you go down further, to Abraham, he was the line of Shem, and his father and family worshipped at the pagan temples. Rachel, the one that Jacob married, she had her idols that she carried with her. So. And even in the New Testament, when it talks about being married to an unbelieving wife or husband, by staying in the marriage, you sanctify the home. But if the ungodly one leaves, well, you just let him go. So we see sanctification of the home, even if there's one positive believer to the Word of God. And I think that's probably happened a few times here in our church. Stayed with the Word, your husband or wife left you, and you stayed with the Word. And sometimes they doesn't bode very well for them. Okay, 1 Kings 22. There was a discussion that was going on in heaven because God wanted to judge the people. And so he called for suggestions. And we have 1 Kings 22, 21. Finally, a spirit came forward, stood before Yahweh, and said, I will entice him. We're talking about 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some believers in Christ shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And we're studying on demonism. So one of the other things about demonism is that they hinder us in our spiritual walk with God. They hinder us in our intake of doctrine, from living in the filling of the Spirit, keeping us wrapped up in the flesh, reacting in the flesh. They do all of those things. And they operate by working at communicators to get them to lie. I was just reading about, they have a COVID response team, and they had like 83 different groups, and many of them were Christians here in America, urging their people to get the shot. The churches were rewarded with money for doing that. American Baptist Association, Episcopalians, I got the list somewhere. Some of the ones that are involved in this, Catholic charities, a Jewish group. And what they did is they took this tone of telling the people that the shots are good for you, it's what God wants you to do, all of these lies. And at their feet is the blood of these men and women. But that is the apostasy of demonism working in the churches of America. I used to teach this in detail. Never thought I'd live through it. I will entice him. By what means, the Lord asks? I will go out and be a deceiving spirit in the mouths of all his prophets. You will succeed in enticing him, said the Lord. Go and do it. This gives you a different impression of what you thought was going on in heaven. So now the Lord has put a deceiving spirit in the mouths of all of these prophets of yours. The Lord has declared disaster for you. How can he do this? You have to think about this. How could God do this? Well, you think about God's a God of truth, God of justice, he's righteous, holy. How can you say that? It goes back to the concept of that you have free will. You didn't want the truth, so he hands you over to a spirit of delusion. Can you see that? It's not A, B, C, and D. It's A or B. And you have to accept the consequences for your decisions. 450 prophets of Baal and one prophet of God. So they had the numbers. What distinguished the two of them? Well, truth versus lies and deception. The Spirit of God operating in you, or the spirit of Satan. And I've been at this for quite some time now, and it is so strong, it's almost overwhelming. The evil has taken over America and is entrenching itself daily. In the churches, the charismatic church, brainchild of the Jesuits. Most of them don't even know that. Jesuit theology has overcome the churches in America. So, everybody in it today or out? So the connection is, demon spirits are inspiring men and women to teach false doctrine. At a church back east, Mike told me it was a couple of years back, but the guy's wife drop-kicked the Bible across the front. In a church. I would expect Satanists, I don't know, maybe they have more sense than that.
She did it inside the church?
Inside the church, in front of the congregation. This guy's wife up here, when she's alive, was involved in the Kundalini demon spirit. Did Kundalini yoga. And that the Kundalini practice started in India with demons. And now they do it all under the guise of the prosperity gospel. So the question was why? Why did God take this suggestion from a demon, a spirit, and follow his suggestion to be a deceiving spirit in the mouths of their prophets? Why did God do that? A lot of reasons why. One of them, man's choice. Sometimes you're going to be tested in life on what you really believe. How much do you really love the Lord and his word? A lot of men and women died because of their love for the word of God. They didn't recant their faith. They didn't cross over to the other side. They went through unbelievable hell here on earth because they stood firm with the truth. It could be for that. Could be consequences of your decisions. It's what you want. You don't want me, then you got that. You know, with God, it's not God plus a dozen other things. It's God or Satan. At the end of all of this stands two beings, God or the devil. Which one? Which one are you going to choose for? And also the idea that God was sick and tired of what Israel was doing, and he's just pushing the agenda further, faster. He wanted to judge them and destroy them, and this gave him every excuse. You have to ask yourself the question, why is Christ coming back at a certain time? What's the situation here on earth? Remembering that God does everything out of his justice, and by the actions of the people of the world living at that time, it requires that he has a son come and straighten the mess out. And until it reaches that tipping point, they cross the line. Now he can come and do his justice thing. It's a warning to all of us. And the warning is not to abandon Bible doctrine. We've seen what happens to people who do. And you come back a year or two later, and it's like they're not even the same person. What has happened? Their values have changed. They're just like anybody else in the world. And that's, to me, that's sad, and it's a warning that somewhere along the line, people made a bad decision. But remember what comes with decisions? Consequences. Consequences. They will always be there. You have been given the freedom to choose in your life, but you have to accept the consequences of your decisions. Well, I only had sex with her one time. Well, that's all it needs to get pregnant or to get an STD. right? Or be knocked in the head and have your wallet taken. So, but where's the bad concept or the bad decision? Shouldn't have gone to bed. Paul touches on this. If we allow ourselves to get to the place that we no longer want sound doctrine, then we open ourselves up for doctrines of demons. And Paul talked about that. He says, in the latter days, or in the last days, men will not love sound doctrine. They don't want it. I mean, they got churches out here that sing and play for an hour or more. No doctrine. They're just doing all the rest of the stuff. Does that feed the soul? Or is it tantalizing your flesh? That's what Charles Spurgeon said. Our job is to feed the sheep, not entertain goats. 1 Thessalonians 2:11. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. They should believe a lie. This is what we were talking about in Kings. Strong delusion is planes. It's something that leads somebody astray from the truth and gets them going down the wrong path. You say, well, are you saying these demons influence people to get them down the wrong path? Yes. Well, that's not right. Why isn't that right? God sends them, but where did these strong delusions come from? Who sent it to them? Who sent the strong delusion to mankind? For the purpose that they might believe a lie. Who did that? God did. So you go back to God and say, what happened? I thought you were supposed to protect me. I thought you were against evil and all this stuff. Why was this stuff purposely sent to mankind? Why? Because they did not love the truth. Christ had an expression of those who are on the side of the truth. There are men and women today who are on the side of the truth, and there are those who aren't. And this is where it leads to. So you can't feel sorry for them. And for a good many of them, maybe all of them, I don't know, when their heart stops beating and their soul departs their body, where do they go? You know, we live here in Reading, and Reading used to be a really Bible-centered community as far as the churches went. But we don't have that anymore. We have individuals in this community that still hold to the truth. But you're being overwhelmed by this flood of evil brought in by these different groups, most of them from Southern California. Nothing good came out of there. And it makes it harder for us. We struggle to get our heads above water, the water of the flood. But just remember this. This cause, God sent them a strong delusion. And this was nothing new. And it's mentioned in the church age, but it goes back a couple thousand years or more. He already did that before. And that's because the people did not love the truth of God's word. You know, what is truth? One of the kings of Israel asked that question, what is truth? Well, truth is reality. It's what's real. It's not pretend. It's not made up. These are walls. This is a fan. There's an overhead projector. Those things are true. And there are laws of physics. We studied those in school, laws of physics. That's the truth about how everything works, is physics. There's laws of mathematics, laws of geometry, right? There are moral laws of how we're to conduct ourselves. And who is a moral lawgiver? God. Romans chapter 1 talks about degenerating into homosexuality and lesbianism. I'm sure you've all read it. And what happened? God gave them up to their lust. And they did not receive a love for the knowledge of God's word. It's interesting, the word for knowledge there is epinosis. And it's a key word of the type of knowledge and faith that believers in Christ have, that believers can get involved in this stuff. And God don't mess with them anymore. He gives them over to their lust. What does that mean? They just go from lusting to lusting to lusting. They don't stop it. It also means they give them over to the consequences of the lifestyles that they've chosen. Would you think that in the last 30 years, many Christians have died because of HIV? Yeah. So, well, they shouldn't be that way. If they were Christians, they wouldn't be that way. Not always true. If you reject Bible doctrine and the spiritual empowering that it gives your soul, then you're put into the grip of your flesh nature. Your sin actions just get worse and worse. Is it okay to have a beer now and then? Yeah, or a glass of wine with your meals. They do it all over the world. But what happens if you give yourselves over to the alcohol and you just get drunk every day? What happens? Well, eventually your liver will get out. I've had men under my ministry that happened to them. Loved them greatly in the Lord, but they just hit that sauce all the time and clogged up their liver, and their heart couldn't handle it. The heart gave out. Young guy, had everything to live for. What happens if you give yourself over to drugs? Methamphetamine, cocaine. You're burning the candle at both ends, aren't you? I learned a lesson when I was in the Navy, because when we flew, we had oxygen bottles on the plane. So to entertain ourselves, I would light up a cigarette and blow the pure oxygen through it. Oh man, it made a great flare, really bright. But I burned through my cigarette in no time at all, you know, and I thought, gee, bodies like that, you can get involved in different things. It'll be great for a flash, but like a shooting star, it burns up, and you burn up your body and your brain. So little life lessons. Satan, after the church started, created a counterfeit church. They had all times we have them today, charismaniacs. They're worse than the Catholics. Catholic Church is a counterfeit Christianity. But what makes this one, charismatics, worse? Because it poses itself as and it's non-Catholic. So it's like kind of like a Protestant thing. It's not, oh, by the way, part of those groups that were misleading their people was the National Association of Evangelicals. Have you heard of them? Big outfit. 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So how do we do that? You test the spirits by testing their teaching, their doctrines. As I said before, I've never had a problem with Catholics. A childhood friend of mine, until he died, was a Catholic, and I got along great. It's the doctrines of the Catholic Church. There's Seventh-day Adventists. I don't have problems with those. It's the doctrines. They're teaching false stuff. And only one way to know the truth from the false is how. You have to know what the truth is. You have to study. And don't get suckered in. Father, thank you for the study. We pray a blessing in Christ's name. Amen.